And because of this liberation, you have given up the demoniac mentality and have attained the position of an exalted devotee. Purport. Lord Vishnu is the Mahapurusha. Therefore, one who has become... Therefore, one who becomes a Vaishnav attains the position of a Mahapurusha. This position was attained by Maharaj Parikshit. It is said in the Padma Puran that the distinction between a demigod and a demon is that a demigod is a devotee of Lord Vishnu, whereas a demon is just the opposite. Vishnu bhakta smito daiva asuras tad vipayayo. Vritrasura was considered a demon, but actually he was more than qualified as a devotee, or a Mahapurusha. If one somehow becomes a devotee of the Supreme Lord, whatever his position, he can be brought to the position of a perfect person. This is possible if an unawed devotee tries to serve the Lord by delivering him in this way. Therefore, Sukadeva Goswami says in Srimad Bhagavatam, Kirata hunandra pudanda pulkasha abhira shumbha yavana kashariya nene chapapa yadapa shreya shreya shudhyanti tasmai prabhavishnave namaha. Kiratas, huns, andras, pulindas, pulkashas, abhiras, shumbhas, yavanas, and members of the kasha races, and even others addicted to sinful acts, can be purified by taking shelter of the devotees of the Lord, for he is the supreme power. I beg to offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Anyone can be purified if he takes shelter of a pure devotee and molds his character according to the pure devotee's direction. Then, even if one is a kirata, andhra, pulinda, or whatever, he can be purified and elevated to the position of a Mahapurusha. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Kenanjana Shalakaya. Material energy is very difficult to surmount because it's Vaishnavi. It's the potency of Lord Vishnu. Illusory energy. It's divinely empowered and therefore insurmountable. But Atarshi, you've surmounted the material energy. That means Mamevaye Prapajanta, you must have surrendered to Krishna. Otherwise, how is it possible? Because Vaishnavim Janamohinim, the material energy is bewildering everyone. What to speak of the people in general? Muyanti Yat Surya. Even the demigods are bewildered by Krishna's material energy. Tejo Bari Mridam Yata Vinimayo Yatra Chisargo Mrsha. As one sees fire in the water, or sees water in the land, so one is seeing something which doesn't exist. One is seeing that I'm this body, I'm the enjoyer, I'm the controller, I'm the owner, I'm this, I'm that. Janasya mohoyam aham mameti. Oh, everyone is bewildered by this. There's no actual water in the desert. There's no actual fire in the ocean. But by the influence of illusion, one is seeing these things, and they appear to be real. So it appears I'm American, I'm Indian, this is my wife, these are my children, this is my money, this is my car, this is But it has no factual existence any more than the fire and the land, fire in the water, or the water in the desert. But Atarshin, you've surpassed that illusory energy. Pavan Atarshin Mayam Bhai, most definitely. Vaishnavim Janamohinim. Yad Vihai Asuram Pava. Asura Pava. Pava means mentality or feeling. Just like we speak of Gopi Pav or Krishna Pavanamrit Sangh. So Pav means a particular emotional sentiment or or mentality. Ishra Pav, in the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, when the qualities of the Kshatriyas are described. Ishra Pavam. To have that spirit take charge. I saw there was some comment by that, what is that man's name, Mustafi, who took over in Pakistan? Musarraf. Musarraf. There was some interview with him, and after asking so many things, will you negotiate this, that, when will you restore democratic... At the end, the interviewer asked him, so are you enjoying what you're doing now? And Mustada replied that, frankly, it's nice to be in charge. Frankly, it's nice to be in charge. So this is Ishra Bhava. Someone else doesn't want to be in charge, just leave me out of it. But a person with a little Kshatriya spirit, nice to be in charge. In fact, if I can't be in charge, I'm either leaving the country or I'm taking over. Ishra Bhav. To be a manager, to be a Kshatriya, you have to have a take charge mentality. So Ishra Bhav. Similarly, Asura Bhav. Asura Bhava Mahashrita. What is that in Bhagavad Gita? Namam Dushkrita Namudha Prapajante Naradhama Maya Pratigana. Asura Bhava Mahashrita. Having taken shelter of Asura Bhav, demonic spirit. Those who don't surrender to Krishna. You can take it that these are four different classes of men, or you can take it that all these qualifications pertain to the non-devotees. Asura Bhava. Instead of taking shelter of Krishna, Daivim Prakritim Ashrita, instead of taking shelter of Krishna and his spiritual energy, Asura Bhava Ashrita. You're taking shelter of your demonic spirit. I've got so much now, I'll get more by my plans. He's my enemy, I've killed him, I'll kill my other enemies also. So much is more is mine, I'll get more. I'm surrounded by aristocratic relatives. I'm perfect, powerful, happy. I'll perform some sacrifices, I'll give some charity. In this way, I'll enjoy. In this way, the demons are thoroughly bewildered by the demonic mentality of which they take shelter. They're taking shelter of illusion, that's all. And they're getting kicked as a result. So still this Asura Bhava is very difficult to give up once one's got anyone. He picks up a particular point of view, and no matter how much logic you give him, no matter how much evidence, no matter how many good reasons, he's the obstinate fellow sticks to his position. This is called fanaticism. Give any good argument, and he has a foolish answer, which is good enough for him. Somebody says that the world is based on triangles. Everything somehow comes in groups of three modes of nature, three gunavatars, three worlds, three this. Everything's based on three. And this, when you understand this, you understand the universe. So then you give him some example that, no, there are four kinds of men who surrender to Krishna. There are five kinds of foodstuffs. There are six kinds of bewilderments. He said, no, that it's three. Six is two times three. And five is three plus two. The whole world is based on three. So in this way, any argument you give him, no. He's fixed up in his mentality, and he's right. No matter how wrong he is, he's right. This is called stubborn obstinacy, or irrationality, or fanaticism, or so many other things. People pick up some crazy philosophy, and no matter how much good evidence is brought, they stick to it. And you lead them around, you lead them through an argument, this goes to this, to this, to this, and just about when it reaches the point where it's being shown that what they're saying doesn't make any sense, they go back up to the top again. But what about, you see? This is their stubbornness. So those who were against Krishna, somehow or other, by some excuse, by some lame argument, by some means, somehow or other, there's no God. In the face of all the evidence, in the face of every good argument, in the face of everything, somehow or other, they persist in their obstinate conviction that there's no God. Because as soon as there's God, it has nothing to do with logic, actually. It has nothing to do with evidence. It has nothing to do with rationality. It has nothing to do with any of these things. All those big scientific skeptics are presenting everything has to go by logic, everything has to go by intellect. Actually, logic, intellect, all that has nothing to do with it. The real basic principle is, as soon as there's God, I'm not number one anymore. As soon as there's God, I'm not independent. As soon as there's God, I'm not the supreme enjoyer. As soon as there's God, I'm under some higher authority. And because I'm averse to all that, therefore, all these arguments. Therefore, asatyam apratishtam te jagadahuranishvara. Aparaspara sambhutam kimanyat kamoitukam. They say that everything is false. They say the world has no basis. They say there's no supreme God in control. Everything just happens by chance. Everything, the molecules are, and forces of nature are attracted to one another in a certain way, and this is what's making everything happen. They're thinking in that way. Etam drishtam avashtabhya nashtatmano pabuddhaya. And prabhavantya ugrakarmana akshayaya jagatavita. Sticking to these demoniac views, etam drishtam avashtabhya nashtatma, completely killing their spiritual life. And alpabuddhaya, very foolish, hardly their intelligence is working, although they think they're very intelligent. Maya pratigyana, their real intelligence has been stolen by illusion. And so they're busy with their great accomplishments. Prabhavanti ugra karmana, pungent activities, nasty activities, activities which make the world more and more demonic, more and more frantic, more and more hellish. Kshayaya jagatavita, which create destruction, weapons of mass destruction. unbeneficial, horrible things. This is the result of their asura path. So, yad vihaya asura bhavam. You've given up the asura path. Although you're supposed to be a demon, vihaya karma, you've given up your lust, anger, greed, you've given up your demonic mentality. And instead, maha purushatam gata, you've become a great mahajan, a great exalted devotee. Maha purushatam. One becomes great by serving the greatest. Krishna is the greatest, and by serving Krishna, one also becomes great. By trying to become independently great, one becomes worthless. But by surrendering to Krishna, one actually becomes a great soul. Sa Mahatma Sudurlabha. Not the person who's trying to be independent. Not the person who's relying on his own strength. Not the person who refuses to surrender. But the person who submits to the transcendental superiority of Krishna, he becomes Mahapurushatama. Mahapurusha, he's a great person. So you've become a great person by serving the greatest, or by serving the servant of the greatest. Better than serving the greatest is to serve the servant of the greatest. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada cites Kiratuhunandra Palinda Pulkasha, that all of these sinful persons, uncivilized persons, can become purified and attain perfection by taking shelter of a pure devotee of the Lord. One can become a devotee, Prabhupada explains, one can become a devotee, and once one becomes a devotee, then he can become a perfect person. Without becoming a devotee, no one can become perfect, except he can become a perfect rascal, that's all. But he may be a big philanthropist, he may be a big scientist, he may be a big businessman, he may be a big political leader, he may be this or that, but he can't be a perfect person because he's missing the point of life. Now, so many things he attains and he misses the central point. So actually he's a perfect fool, although he's praised by ordinary foolish men. That doesn't make him less than a fool. But a person who surrenders to Krishna can attain perfection. First one becomes a devotee, and after becoming a devotee, being properly trained, one can attain perfection in Krishna consciousness. So this is the mercy of the devotee, mercy of the spiritual master, bona fide spiritual master, to train one how to become, to awaken one to Krishna consciousness, and train one in devotional service so that he can attain perfection. Any questions?
It's not related to the class. Mm-hmm. It's not related to the class. It's a general question.
Anyone have a real
comment? When we use the word Godhead, sometimes we use it to refer to a place. We say back to Godhead. But then sometimes Godhead is used as a person also, the Supreme Godhead.
Back to Godhead, so Godhead is person. Or Godhead has three features, Prameti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavaniti, Shabdita.
So Godhead refers to a place or to a person? Godhead refers to a place or to a person?
The person is with a, is in a place. Why do you want to separate the person from his place? Krishna is inseparable. Rajabhavan Brajesha Taniyata Dhamma Vrindavan. The Vrindavan Dhamma is not separable from Krishna. There's no Vrindavan without Krishna. And there's also no Krishna without Vrindavan. Therefore, Advaita Acharya said to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, wherever you are, that's Vrindavan. Or Prabhupada said, wherever the deity of Krishna is, that's as good as Vrindavan. Krishna is absolute, so he can't be severed from his abode, from his form, from his... Just what we say, you're talking about a person or a form? No. Krishna's form is also Krishna. Krishna's name is also Krishna. Krishna's place is also Krishna. It's all inseparable. Is that okay? Yes?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. According to Srimad Bhagavatam, gold produces, or because of gold there is intoxication, gambling, illicit sex, and or it increases the rate of...
They're associated with one.
Associated with that. So, or sometimes even in the devotee's house, gold will be there. So, how do we explain this?
In a devotee's house, gold will be there?
I mean, if like necklaces or something is there.
No. Not that wherever there's gold, but stocking. Not that if your wife has a gold earring, then it means Kali Yuga is advancing. Ladies will be glad to know it's not like that. Gold is also one of the natural opulences to be used in Krishna's service. Little gold is good. But stocking of gold, Reserve Bank of India, and under, you know, you look under the person's bed and there's gold. You look in the, he's got a vault and there's gold. He's got gold hidden here, he's got gold hidden there. Big, what are those called? Corporate mergers, you know, and so much gold is being concentrated. Or outright cheating, that I'm collecting gold and I'm issuing paper. So you give me your gold and I'll give you paper. So you have paper only. At any moment it may become worthless. And the gold is elsewhere. So that's prostitution of the national economy. Otherwise, why this inflation is going up? I think when I started coming to India, what was it, about 12 rupees to the dollar? I think so, 8 or 12. 8, huh? That means about 1970, it was maybe 8 rupees to the dollar. Now it's what, 42? 43? 45? 43 rupees. And it probably won't go down. And then sooner or later they make a new rupee, which is worth $1, right? Just by declaring, now the rupee is worth $1, but it's not. So, because the government has the facility, they own the printing press, they can run off more rupees at any time, whether or not there's actually gold. So it has a value which is only official, or just by fiat they declare this is worth so much, but it's not, because the backing is not there. So much cheating is there as soon as there's gold. In our temples also, Prabhupada didn't encourage that you build up your bank balance so you'll have a lot of money just in case. We've seen so many times that you build up a stock and it at once attracts attention. How can I get at this money and spend it? How can I get at this money and spend it? You're known to have money. Then everyone starts approaching you. Can you give me some money? Can you loan me some money? Could you invest? I have a very good scheme. It just needs a few capable and intelligent people like you. And as soon as you have money stocked up, then there's immediately programs for taking the money. And people, your wife becomes your enemy, how to kill my husband and get the money. So many things. The son is thinking how to kill my father and get the money. The brother and sister, which of us will get the money, how can we? So these quarrels, dissensions, hypocrisy, oh, daddy, I love you so much. Make sure I get a good share of the money. Hypocrisy, cheating, lies. As soon as there's stocking, excess. Otherwise, a reasonable amount of gold is nice. Just like eating. Eating is not bad. It's only overeating which becomes a problem. Sex is not bad. Too much illicit sex becomes a problem. In this way. Gold? No. Gold is... Prakshit Maharaj must have also been having some gold ornaments. Certainly his wife must have had gold ornaments. But not stocking. In fact, after giving that benediction to Kali, then Prakshit Maharaj made sure that no gold stocked. It would be spent on some kirtan. Therefore, for the temple, it's good not to stock so much money. Then everyone starts to think, well, I don't have to do anything because we have plenty of money. What's the problem? So better to be a little bit in hardship that we have no money, so we have to do something. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada told us, used to get some money his disciples would collect. He'd ask them, you collect for such and such thing, some temple. And then they'd collect, they'd get the money, and he'd say, no, that money is already spent for some theistic exhibition, so you have to go out and get some more money for the temple. We're in shortage. So that way, to keep them always a little bit in debt, deficit financing, so that they'll always be in need of working hard, and they'll never become lazy. We're sitting on so much money, we don't have to do anything. We can just stay in the temple and take prasadam and take rest. So it's good. Money should not become our enemy by being needlessly stocked. Sanatana Goswami also, that was there, that he was on the journey to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and one innkeeper was planning to kill him because his servant was keeping seven gold coins. So Sanatana Goswami didn't know it, but the servant is keeping these coins. And then when Sanatana Goswami found out, he said, why are you bringing this death knell with us on the road? If I have nothing in my pocket, I'll have no problem. But with seven gold coins in my pocket, the landowner will take help from his astrologer and find out that we're carrying gold, and he'll think how to rob us and kill us. Get rid of it. So the Ishan, his servant, got rid of all the coins but one, wasn't it? So Sanatana Goswami said, that's all right, now go home. Yes?
Maharaj, but Prabhupada explains in the purport that if we use gold as currency instead of paper, then it will the effect of intoxication, gambling, and all will cease.
The effect recedes if you use gold instead of currency.
of the paper currency.
Because gold is at least real currency. You can't cheat the same way with gold that you can cheat with currency. It's still gold. The gold cheating is going on. Someone is stocking the gold and issuing these papers. So it's big time cheating because you've got these papers and they can be manipulated any which way. Whereas if it's gold, well, you only have as much gold as you have. You can't do this paper cheating business. So it's, you have a stable economy on gold standard, or honest economy on gold standard. And the question may be asked that, then how can we do big transactions when it depends on gold? Because paper, it's not a problem. You simply take the notes and you put them in your suitcase and you go and buy the land or whatever it is. And in America, they hear you, what is the biggest note, 500 rupees? In America, they have, you know, $1,000 notes, maybe even 10,000, something, you know, big. And each dollar is worth 40 rupees. So, you know, a little stack of paper and you can buy an acre or two in New York. But how can you do that when there's gold? How will the business go on? How will the transactions go on? It won't go on. Everything scaled down.
Thank you, Minister.
Yes. Microphone. You had a question?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. So, we see that in the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just by seeing him, people started reviving their dormant love for Krishna. And it's not that they were having perfect faith that this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead or what. So deities are considered non-different than actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's deity or Krishna's. So why doesn't it happen about deities when someone sees the deity then perfectly purified? Actually, deity is non-different.
Anyway, it depends on the candidate. Not that everyone who saw became Krishna conscious. The Shishupal was seeing Krishna, he didn't become Krishna conscious. So many others were seeing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but they didn't surrender, they didn't become Krishna conscious.
But in the pastimes of Ramakaligram, that it was saying that all the village started dancing.
Because they were fortunate villagers, just like now, any village. If we hold, say, Padayatra is coming to Pune, so the programs will be very small. They'll have programs here in Pune, but they'll be very small compared to any village program. How many people are there in Pune? 10 lakhs. 20 lakhs. So there are 20 lakhs in people in Pune, and they'll get, you know, 500 people, 1,000 people, 5,000 people at their program. Maximum. But if they go to a village where there's 5,000 people, they'll get 8,000 people at their program. Because the villagers are more pious, more simple, less complicated, natural life. So it's easier for them to be attracted by, they're not, you know, on the one corner is the bar and the next corner is the non-veg restaurant, and the next corner is this, and the next corner is that, all rubbish cinema. Still simple life. So they're more easy for them. Sinful life is less. And they can become Krishna conscious very easily. Whereas in the big cities, the hard-hearted, determined sense enjoyers who are living in cities, it may be more difficult for them. So, Ram Kali, and some villages are more pious than other villages. What was that other place? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, some other village. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there are all these people.
Kuliyan.
Similarly, just like Radha Govinda Maharaj, So he comes from a village in Bihar in Sasaram district. And just by his influence, the whole village is Krishna conscious. Everyone chants Hare Krishna. So many devotees are there. So just by the influence of one devotee, the whole village has become Krishna conscious. The surrounding villages also have so many devotees are there. So it's nice. It's in one sense easier. The village very quickly, because they're supposed to be in the mode of goodness. And people can easily become Krishna conscious, easily attracted. But the city dwellers are hard nuts to crack. And still, bit by bit, just like if you go to or just like we went to Janava Mata's last night, so there's some children playing, and very easily they were all chanting Hare Krishna, because all the time they're hearing kirtan, seeing devotees. If you go to Mira Road, then for so many blocks we were walking, so many blocks all around, if you say Hare Krishna, at once they'll say Hare Krishna, because the influence spreads gradually. And the village, you can take over the whole village easily. In the city, you have to work harder. There's a question here. Oh, you have the microphone. Mystic powers, okay.
Maharaj, in India, even a few decades ago, when a man and a woman get married, parents used to generally give them some solid asset, something like gold or a land, so that because when they're newly married, they may have a tendency to easily spend it off. So they don't give them cash. Rather, they give them gold or some land so that they'll preserve it. And in the time of emergency and crisis, they can use that. From what you said, it appears it is not a wise decision to possess such things.
Something, but not too much stocking. Little something. But everyone hoarding money. Otherwise, actually, even it was in useful form. It used to be. Now, if we go out and buy a chair, it's what they call molded furniture, which means plastic. You go out and buy a table, again, it's molded furniture, which means plastic. Your spoons, your everything is plastic or base metal or this, that. Useless. If it's broken, which it will be, you throw it away. But they used to make these useful things out of precious metals also. Out of silver, out of gold. So it has the thing, like plastic, you can never clean it. Plastic can never actually be clean. Therefore, we're advanced in especially Western countries, plastic plates. And then it can never be cleaned because it's plastic. You see so many containers and this and that. You clean it with soap and there's always some film. It never can actually be cleaned. Now we're becoming advanced. We just go out and for 20 rupees you have a nice pitcher made of plastic and it's durable and this and that. But actually it's junk and it's filthy. Therefore the higher standard is some metal must be there. Steel or silver or gold, something. And then if you're ever in this difficulty, you sell a pitcher or two. And it can always be cleaned. It will always can be shined also. And keep in the villages you'll see by the well. The ladies are there shining the brass pots. And in the cities, they've got nice plastic pots. And
they're thinking we're advanced, we're opulent. Actually, the villagers are living in opulence. Yeah. They have nice brass pots, all shiny clean. And you're living in garbage, surrounded by plastic, surrounded by worthless things. So, simple opulence, some land. And land is also not for hoarding. We just keep the land vacant, and we sit on it, we own this land. But it should be cultivated. Then you have actual opulence. Opulence is not just land. Land is, what is land? But when you do something with the land, when you grow flowers, fruits, vegetables, grains, then you're cultivating the land. And then what do you require? You're getting your fruits, you're getting your grains, you're getting your vegetables, you keep some cows, you get your milk products, you get everything self-sufficient. You're not indebted to anyone, you're not in difficulty.
Maharaj, when I was hearing the Sanatana Goswami's incident, which you said, I was remembering the traveler's check they have nowadays. You can have lakhs of rupees.
Oh, traveler's checks, yes.
It appears very safe. One can have lakhs of rupees and yet not be at any danger.
Yes. That's a fact. That arrangement is there. Of course, danger is also there, but it's a very intelligent arrangement, actually, by the traveler's check company. They take your money and give you paper. And you have this nice, secure paper, and they have all the interest on your money. And you're thinking, I'm very safe, I'm very secure. Meanwhile, and they're saying, they're reminding you, these checks are always good, you can keep them forever. Because as long as you keep the check, we're earning the interest. So, anyway, so many things are there, electronic business and everything. But this is not real advancement of civilization. Real advancement, and then they buy so many things, and they go in debt. We talked about that last night. They go in debt so much with their credit cards. But real opulence is simple, peaceful life, to have some land, to have some basic necessities, some gold also, some things of value. Real, simple, opulent life based on the things that Krishna provides, not based on big, big, complicated arrangements. It doesn't lead to greater happiness. Simple life with Krishna consciousness, that makes happiness.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. In South India, you have seen that many of the temples have lot of land and lot of gold, and they go every year. They have a new palanquin for the Lord, new made of gold and silver, so many ornaments. Is that actually necessary?
Yes. Krishna is allowed to stock gold. When Krishna stocks gold, he doesn't become a victim of Kali or a victim of Maya.
But Maharaj, the people who keep this one, so because we are all in Maya, so even in the temple also, the people who are taking care of it, they can also...
Therefore, they have to be watched very carefully. Any good temple, there's so many arrangements to see. The pujaris, the servants, so many, they can't walk off with the gold. There must be some good arrangement. If the deity has ornaments made of gold, then careful inventory must be kept. How many ornaments, what kind of this, that. And it has to be kept locked up. And the pujari, some of the temple Tirupati, I think also, some deposit is there from the pujari. So that if he leaves with anything, at least we've got some money from him. So in so many ways, they make it very difficult. Of course, we have to be a little careful. One time Prabhupada warned that, in, especially in the Western countries, better not to decorate the deity with too costly ornaments and jewels. It will attract danger. It will attract danger. Better to use the purpose of the temple. Otherwise, where there's the proper arrangement and so on, the deities may be very opulently decorated with valuable ornaments. But because for him, it's constitutional. He's the Sripati, he's the husband of the goddess of fortune. For him to have gold is natural. The Kubera is only the servant of Lord, of the servants of Lord Vishnu. The treasurer of the demigods, he's the treasurer entrusted by the demigods to be their treasurer, and the demigods are all servants of Krishna. So for Krishna to be opulent is natural. And that, in fact, is how you get rid of your trouble. You're keeping gold, give your gold to the deity. You're walking around like you're a deity. So much gold. Give what you have to the deity and you'll feel better. When I first came to the Hare Krishna movement, I had one ornament only, which was one gold ring with a jewel. So I gave it to the deity. So then I felt nice. Otherwise, I'm just keeping and decorating my body with this gold ornament and thinking I have this gold ornament. And when I gave it to the deity, it felt nice. And Krishna has this thing that I was attached to, now it's belonging to Krishna. So my attachment is more with Krishna now. So it's nice. So instead of keeping your gold, give to Krishna. And some portion, especially grahastas, they can keep something. But half even, you should give to Krishna.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, you are explaining that the villagers are more in a mode of goodness.
Supposed to be, not always.
And in general, they are more open, more favorable to Krishna consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
They take to the process very easily, they are very pious and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And in India, we find that almost 70% of the population is staying in the villages.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't devotees stay and preach there, and we build big temples in the cities, but hardly any preaching is going on in the villages? So why don't devotees are not staying and preaching in the villages, where the opportunities are very much compared to the city?
We have our Padayatra program, which is especially meant for village preaching. In Bengal, we have our Sankirtan parties that go from village to village. I think here also in Maharashtra, it's not that we only stay packed up in the cities, but people are going to the villages. We found with the Back to Godhead, we get very good response in the villages. People are very eager to have the magazine subscribe, everything. Although maybe they have less money, this, that, but they're easily attracted. So we have so many subscribers coming from the villages only. So we may have our headquarters in the city where so many people are packed together and so many things. But we should go out from Pitiviti Yata Ache Nagarati Gram. Not only the Nagar, but the Gram also. Nagar, Gram. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered, not only the cities, but in the villages, in the towns, every place. Don't think that only in the city you'll get a good response. In the villages, they get a better response.
So you don't have any big temples or major centers in the villages?
You don't, that's right, because it's a village. You don't make a big temple, big center, big Glory of India cultural project in the village, then you'll spoil the village. You don't need it. In the city, unless you have, you know, a skyscraper or a huge thing, then you're not on the map. You have to do something big, then people think maybe we should go there. But in the village, you sit down and chant Hare Krishna and people will get it. So you don't have to spend, you don't have to make big managerial arrangement, you don't have to look all over the world to find a temple president, you don't have to do anything. You sit down, you chant Hare Krishna, train the local people to sit down and follow the process, and the village can become nice. And people in their homes, they can keep, everyone keep a temple. Or else you make a temple, just like in Radhagovinda Maharaj's village, they made a, not Glory of India cultural project, but they made a nice little temple. And people come together and worship the deity and chant Hare Krishna. So, city on the city scale and village on the village scale. And besides, there's so many villages, if you have to build Tirupati Mandir in every village, you'll never have time to chant Hare Krishna. Every village should have our Hare Krishna center. It was nice when we were in Padayatra one time. Our advance party used to go and say that this party is coming, can you receive them? We went to one village, and as we were approaching the village with our kirtan party, the villagers came out with their kirtan party, and they had a big banner, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, and the name of the village. It means they already had a branch. They heard we were coming, they started a branch. There was some very enthusiastic person, he was leading the whole thing. So he, just on the spot practically, started a branch of this kind. And you can do that, village to village. Therefore Prabhupada encouraged Loknath Maharaj with his bullock cart sankirtan party. Just go village to village. Chant Hare Krishna, distribute prasadam, distribute some books, speak a little philosophy, and you'll really do something. Yes?
Maharaj, I've observed many devotees, especially in Mayapur Dham, following different regulations and vidhis. Like for example, doing Achman before and after Tilak, before Prasad, after Prasad. So my question is, being Prabhupada's followers, how much stress we have to give on vidhis, especially those are mentioned in Hari Bhakti Vilas and other books. And secondly, how much does it affect, especially being in preaching mood here, we tend to neglect some of the vidhis. So how much does it affect our spiritual life or spiritual progress?
We can see what to do by Srila Prabhupada's personal example and pick up the clue from that. There may be different standards in different places. In Bengal and Mayapur, you see people are following these things. It's part of the culture. It's part of their normal upbringing. So they're already accustomed to do these things. And it's very sattvic and purifying and conducive to Krishna consciousness. So when they do it, it's very nice. Otherwise, for those who've not grown up with this cultural background, they may do it or not do it. It's not crucial. That which is crucial, we've been instructed. You must get up for Mangal Arati. You must worship Tulsi Devi. You must do this, that. So the things which are essential, we should do. And things which are optional, you may do or not do. And sometimes the things which are optional are also not at all required, or concocted, or unnecessary. But those things definitely we should not, there's no need to introduce. But even the authorized things, as we should see what Prabhupada wanted us to do, what he gave us, that much at least we should do. And other things may be as it's practical, as it's suitable. And some places you may even give up the things that we consider to be basic because of lack of facility, because the people are not yet capable or responsive. So Prabhupada came to America, so he didn't have all the paraphernalia, he didn't have all the rules and regulations. And he just started chant Hare Krishna. And as people took to it, then he introduced different things. But sometimes there's an eagerness to introduce so many things, even from other sampradayas. We become impressed that, oh, Ramanuja sampradaya, they're doing this, that, we could also do. Why? Keep it simple. And avoid 10 offenses while chanting Hare Krishna. That's the main thing. Simply by throwing the right number of drops of water in the right direction, you'll not go back to Godhead. The real thing is chanting Hare Krishna without offenses. And the other things, as they're conducive for that, it's also good.
Hare Krishna, when you come from the spiritual world into this material world, we become faithless. We forget about God. So now we are the persons, we have got a faith that Krishna is there. So where this faith started arriving? By Ajna Sukrutis. So by chanting Krishna, will the faith arise, or even by chanting Krishna, faith doesn't arise? Just by chanting Krishna, will the faith arise in the faithless person?
If he's in the process. If he chants Hare Krishna, otherwise some nonsense people are chanting Hare Krishna with all aparads for material purposes. Whether they'll get any faith in Krishna is questionable. Or if so, how long? But if one chants Hare Krishna in the process, following in the footsteps of the acharyas, following the authorized direction, then his faith will increase. Therefore the process is aval shraddha. In the beginning you have to have some faith, some interest, otherwise why are you even going to walk in the door? Then if you have that faith, little faith, and you associate with the sadhus, with the devotees, then the next thing is that you'll, by that association, think that let me also do some bhajan. Let me chant, let me take prasadam, let me worship the deity, let me take initiation from a bona fide spiritual master. Let me follow the process. Then your anarthas gradually disappear, and your taste grows, and so on and so on. And finally you come to the stage of love of Krishna. Bhav. You come to ecstasy, bhava. Not this asura bhava, but Krishna bhava. And finally to Krishna prema. So is this where we stop? One more question, is that what's happening? Or should we stop here? This is a good place to stop. He has a question and he has a question. All right, go.
Maharaj, it has been said in Srimad Bhagavatam that this eternal time, it is the controlling form of Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Slow down.
The eternal time.
Yes.
Is the controlling form of Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Mm-hmm.
And further, it is said that the atom is also the minute, subtle form of eternal time.
What is?
The atom.
Mm-hmm.
Is the minute, subtle form of eternal time.
Mm-hmm.
And it has been said that when that the material manifestation does not occur, at that time the atom is in the form of aggregate oneness.
Of?
Aggregate oneness. So is this atom having some relation to the soul? And also
the soul? No. sango hiyam purusha, we were discussing yesterday, that material energy has no relationship with the soul. And the atoms are only little particles of material energy. The atom is associated with time. And time has no relationship with the soul. Time has relationship with the body. The body appears at a certain time and disappears at a certain time. But Najayate Mriyate Bhakadacha, the soul, at no time is it born, at no time does it die. So the soul has no relationship with the atoms, with the elements, with the bodies of which the elements form, with the time associated with the body and with the elements and with the atoms. Soul is transcendental.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, I wanted to know that how much does Krishna consciousness affect the children when they expose from the childhood? Like, you have seen many of your god brothers' children who were exposed to Krishna consciousness, and what is the, like...
It's not simply exposing. That your child is here and you expose, you know, like you show the picture of Krishna consciousness. It requires training and careful training for the child, not simply exposing.
Like Maharaj, we listen about Saraswati. She was a small girl, and other children at that time who were living with their parents, and they were listening to the philosophy, and so how much does it affect when they grow?
It affects. Even if they leave, they can't forget Krishna. Even our, take it a different way, those of us who are not trained in Krishna consciousness, those of us who are exposed to other things, even after you practice Krishna consciousness for so many years, you'll remember those things, isn't it? So it's like that, that what you pick up in your childhood, that remains steady. It tends to remain with you. The South Indians, they may move to Delhi, but they'll eat rice. And a Delhiwala may move to Madras, but he'll not take his lunch without chapatis. Why? Because since his childhood he's been accustomed like that. So, those who pick up, even just by exposure, something Krishna consciousness, tendency will be there that it will always be with them. But it has to be, the training has to be there, very careful, very proper, so that he'll not only have some impression of Krishna consciousness, but he'll be solid in Krishna consciousness. So that people come to our temple, they get some impression that may stay with them, but if they are trained in the process, they become our regular devotees. So with the child also. Very great responsibility, how to take care of the child in Krishna consciousness. It's not automatic that because you're doing something Krishna conscious, the child automatically becomes Krishna conscious. It's like that, of course. The parents, first thing is the parents actually have to be Krishna conscious. Otherwise, the child is very sensitive, very smart. He sees that my mother, my father, they're always saying, you have to be a devotee, you have to be a devotee. When I look how they're living, what kind of devotees are they? That sometimes they're taking prasadam, sometimes they're going to a restaurant, sometimes they're doing this, sometimes doing that. And then they're banging on my head, you have to be a devotee, you have to... So child will say, what kind of hypocrisy is this? Why should I want that? So the parents have to be actually ideal devotees. So the child will see that, actually, and we see in so many families where the parents were very sincere and ideal devotees, the children naturally have that devotional feeling, devotional life, devotional habits, everything. Because it was a natural thing. Their parents were doing it, they were also doing it. Then beyond that, how to train the child, how to educate the child, how to everything very nicely. Therefore, Gurukul system was there. Brahmacharya Gurukul Eva Santanta Guruji. Big responsibility. Like a disciple, you get a disciple. It's not that now he's your disciple, he's automatically Krishna conscious because you're Krishna conscious. If you're not Krishna conscious, it will be very difficult for him. And Guru Maharaj wants me to do this, he's not doing. He's saying live like this, he's not living like that. And then he becomes confused. But even if you live ideally, it's not guaranteed that your disciple automatically becomes. You have to deal very carefully and train him nicely, everything. Otherwise, he doesn't make progress and you won't get the result. The child also. What are you talking about? If he's doing his prescribed duty according to Krishna consciousness, but he's not chanting, he's not... What prescribed duties do you mean?
Suppose if he's thrown into such a situation,
Yeah, there is such a situation. It's called dead. Where you have no time, that you can't chant Hare Krishna. That's called dead. But short of that time, Prabhupada had a simple test. The devotees would say, I don't get time to chant my rounds. I don't get time to... Prabhupada said, are you eating? You're eating? And you're finding time to eat? So if you're finding time to eat, why can't you find time to chant? Eating, you'll know. No one will ever say, no, I have no time to eat. Every day, somehow or other, by hook or by crook, he'll find the time. The time will be there. But for, or so many men, for reading the newspaper, the time will also be there. For prajapa, the time will be there. For so many things, time will be there. But there's no time for chanting. Well, of course, there's no time for chanting. Time is there. The biggest men have time. The big men, they're running multinational companies, and they have time. Even now they have time for all nonsense, but used to be, even these big men, still so many. In the morning time, you can't, nobody can speak to them. No, Mr. Such and Such is doing his puja. Thus, it's understood. He's not going to talk business. He's not going to talk emergency management. He's not going to do anything. He's doing his puja. Because he puts that time has his priority. First thing is, I have to do my puja, I have to chant my prescribed number of rounds, I have to do my sadhana. And when that's done, everything else can be there. Like eating. I know our Guru Govinda Maharaj, he had his first duty given to him by Prabhupada was to translate books into Odia language. So he had so many things he was doing, traveling, preaching, giving class, but he had a vow that until he translated so many pages, he would not take his prasada. Until he chanted, did so many pages, no prasad. So He always translated. It's only a question of priorities. In English they say, where there's a will, there's a way. Okay. So we'll end here this evening. Is our Nityananda Trayodashi.
So sometimes materiality appears to be wrong.
Sometimes what appears to be wrong?
The thing which is manifested or happened appears to be wrong. It should not be happened the way it is happening.
According to us.
Through material conception. So does it mean that Krishna chose the wrong instrument or.
No, it means you don't know what's going on. According to us, it's wrong, but who are we? Just like according to the prisoner, it appears that the government has acted wrongly. It's Krishna's arrangement.
We should accept that it was the same happen like that, irrespective of what instrument Lord has chosen.
Somehow or other, whether it's good, supposedly good, or supposedly bad, it's Krishna's arrangement. Daite bhajra bhajra gyan, e manodam, e balo e mande sabram. Krishna says, in Chaitanya Charitamrita it said, that this business of auspicious and inauspicious in the material world is all mental concoction. This is good, this is bad, this is all illusion. Someone got the iron shackles, he thinks this is bad. And someone got the gold shackles, he thinks this is very good. But they're both in shackles.
So what is the exact role of minute independence of that instrument? The person which has been used as instrument?
Not that he's exactly instrument. Anyway, taking instrument means person is an instrument.
A person taking the decision and,
How do you say instrument?
Right. You have to go or not to go. The decision is lying with one person. Suppose
yes.
You go and there's an accident and something, everything goes wrong.
Yeah.
So, in this, suppose we take that everything happens by Krishna, that remains fine. So, where is the role of that human being who took the decision, minus independence, what is the role of the minus independence? That means this minus independence was also given there?
Of course, he's not all-knowing. You get on an airplane, you don't know that it's going to be hijacked and you're going to be killed. You don't have the information, otherwise you say, I'm not going. That's the nature of this material world, again. It's a place of ignorance. Place of darkness. Otherwise, if we knew everything, then we say, I'm not going to do this because I get in trouble. I'm going to do this and I'm going to. But we're not all knowing. Krishna is all knowing, but we don't know.
Because we don't have exactly
managing. Independence is one thing, but we don't know what to do with our independence. We're in ignorance. And what to speak of not knowing whether to go or not to go. Even the things that are explained to us, we don't understand. Krishna says, manmana bhagavad bhakta. And we think, why should I do that? Think of Krishna, I'm going to think of stardust. Why should I think of Krishna? And bhagavad bhakta, why should I become one of those people? I'm going to work and make money. So the real thing with minute independence is the essence of it is the ability to choose between serving Krishna and not serving Krishna, abiding by Krishna's instructions or ignoring Krishna's instructions. Where's the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita? Krishna says, if you like, you can anujishtanti manava. What is that? Ye me matam idam nityam anantishtanti manava. Yeah, but I'm thinking of a different verse. Yeah, maybe that is. And then the next verse? Sarvagyana Vimudhamstam. Vidhi Nashtam Chaitasa. Krishna says, you have a choice. You can listen to me and follow my instructions, or you can ignore me and my instructions. But if you ignore me, then Sarvagyana Vimudhamstam. All your knowledge will be lost. And Vidhi Nashtam Chaitasa. You'll be a fool. There we see, the whole world is full of fools. They're ignoring Krishna's instructions and suffering like dogs. And some small number of people are taking Krishna's instructions and they're getting free from material entanglements. Well, that's misuse of independence and property. Otherwise, the small decisions of this material world, you know, do I want apples or oranges? Do I want to stay at this hotel or that hotel, so many things. It amounts to nothing. Do I want this or that? It's all, he's distinguishing between different categories of illusion. No, I don't want that illusion, I want this illusion. You may have little independence, but the essence of the independence is to serve Krishna or not serve Krishna. Otherwise, you're exercising a little independence for this or that, but what is the meaning? According to the modes of nature, you'll have lesser or greater independence. Person in ignorance can't choose between anything and anything. It's too dull. And person in goodness, they're more discriminating, but without Krishna consciousness, they're just spinning around on the mundane platform also, because they're still misusing their independence. Although they have more independence, they're not simply in a stupor, but they don't know how to use that greater independence for spiritual advancement. Yes.
Advice to associate with devotees, but in material life we aren't able to meet more devotees. And if suppose a person is a very good in material life, but he's not a devotee, then he's a very good friend.
Family's not your very good friend. If he's not a devotee of Krishna, how what good friend is he? Good means Jai Bhada, Jai Bhada. Those who are good are Krishna's devotees. Abhaktahinchar. Those who are non-devotees are not good association.
Maharaji, but they are of different class. Suppose they are sick, they don't. And if suppose they is a very good person in material life.
Why do we care? Good person, bad person, material life. He's a first-class criminal or a second-class criminal. What do we care? We have this distinction, good and bad. Good nonsense and bad nonsense. A good monkey and a bad monkey. Okay. But there will always be more questions, but it seems like 9 o'clock. Okay. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Actually, there's no need of introducing someone after everything's finished. Of course, in the beginning, there's no one to introduce me to, I understand. You don't have to say something.